You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, this is the song that the barbers, who are they? The Turkish barbers listen to for like 18 hours a day at Camp Fallujah. Love.
Those girls. Oh, Camp Fallujah? I thought you meant in Afghanistan. There are girls from Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah. No, yeah. This song is playing when I see the flame. When I get asked, do I want the flame? Like, I don't know. I'm not a pussy. Yeah. Give me two of them. What is it? I don't know. But I know you got to man up when they ask questions like that. But this song was playing. Joining us is the Gunner. He's out. He's out doing some Christmas shopping. So and he was explaining the intricate works and workings of stocking stuffers. Talk to me.
Okay. So if you look at my Facebook page today, I wrote in there and said, okay, everybody, describe your day in just a GIF. You know, a GIF is just like a repeating little video, a little clip of something, 3 seconds.
Right.
Mine is of the cartoon mouse going freaking crazy, because that's what's going on today. So today, all my Christmas shopping is done. And like I was telling you, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on your gifts or what you went about trying to get them, one of a kind, whatever. All that matters is what went into the stocking stuffer. And my case in point is this. So one year, I gave my wife all of these lavish electronics and all this great stuff, and she's all excited. She's like, wow, this is great. Oh, wow, this is amazing. And then we go to the stocking, you know, because I guess that was a big deal in her family. And, I mean, in my family, it was, you got just candy, M&Ms, candy canes, you know, gum. So, what? I get her, like, Altoids, and I get her, like, these little brush, like, little pieces of paper of mints, you know, you put them in your mouth. I get her these little carryable, which I thought were cool as shit, toothbrushes that you just have the toothpaste already in it, you just put them, snap them together and put them in, and you can take them wherever. And they just fit in your pocket. They're great. And I get all their stuff, and she's looking at me as she's opening this, and she's like, are you trying to say something? I'm like, what? She goes, you give me a toothbrush, you give me breath mints, you give me these breath things, you give me this body lotion, you give me all this stuff. Do I stink? Do I have something wrong with me? And I'm like, what? No. These are cool. And she's like, do you... These are not cool to me.
She knows.
These are implying that I have a problem, a hygiene problem. And I'm like, for God's sakes, okay? So I learn. Then I go back the next year.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, stay away from that crap, right?
Right.
So I get all this other stuff, and she's like...
Like what?
Like hair brunettes or, you know, hair stuff or whatever. I'm like, she's like, when have you ever seen me put my hair up? I'm like, oh, my God, man. Oh, for crying out loud. So, I was thinking, you know what? I'm just going to get her M&M's candy. And then she's going to, well, I don't need candy. I don't care. Apparently, everything else that gets you in the stocking doesn't work either. So, shit, I'll eat the candy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get it for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stocking stuffers, Mac, because I guess, you know, presents and stuff, usually you get a list of like, hey, this is what I'm looking, this is what I want.
Right.
You hardly ever just, you know, go off the path and get creative and go, you know what? I think I know what my wife wants for Christmas. She's never said this, but I think she really, really deep down wants this. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, don't.
That doesn't end out well.
That's a recipe for absolute disaster.
Yeah. I mean, In our family, she goes with me to pick out exactly what she wants. And people say, well, that's kind of okay. But at least she's not, I don't make her wrap it. I wrap it. Okay?
Okay.
So, but that way, She's happy. Everything's happy. Because right. Christmas to me is, I mean, we lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas and what's it all about. It's not about presents. It's not about giving gifts. You know, it's about celebrating the life of, you know, Jesus and doing all this other stuff and just being a good person. You know, hey, for one day, just walk in the shoes of that man and just do good things for other people. That'd be a great Christmas. But no, we've relegated to cards and making sure that you call everybody because God forbid you miss somebody's, you know, on a phone call or, and then it's, you know, presents and material gifts and, you know, how about, like you and I talked about this last Christmas. Hey, take your kids to a shelter or, something that deprived children go to for Christmas, like a food shelter. You know, volunteer to give out food for Christmas. That'll put things in perspective for your kids real damn fast.
Let me say, and if you don't do that, I don't think you're doing your job as a parent. Because
raising a brat.
I tell that story about Patrick, who who's not different than any other 19-year-old, and we're going out handing turkey dinners out. And by about the ninth apartment that we went to in this developmental home, you know, and again, the heat in the apartments, you know, had to be like the average temperature was like 88 degrees, you know, and people from amputees to emphysema and all this. You do that, you get your snout rubbed in it a little bit, and you look around like I've got a good family. I'm fully physically, I'm fully functioning.
Yeah. You look around and go, man, I won the lottery.
Yeah. Like, and so.
Ovarian
lottery. Yeah.
The winner of the ovarian lottery. And there's, you believe, you got to understand that there are more people out there that are not, they're not happy with what they want in life. You know, they want more. And, but it's like, if you said, put it in perspective by go looking at something, those people that are not as fortunate as you are. And there's a lot of them. You'll realize real quick that you're pretty high up in the ladder of well-offness. You know, and people need that snap in their life every once in a while to put everything back in perspective because that's what it's really about. Helping others. Putting smiles on other faces. You know, We did that wreath across America on Saturday where we laid 438 wreaths here in active ceremony on veterans who have interned at the ceremony.
Right.
Or at the cemetery. And, I
think Patrick did that at Arlington.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Arlington and do it one year because that would be fantastic, you know?
Right.
Because a lot of families of your lost ones come there. So it'd be great to reconnect with those people and, you know, because I knew a lot of them. You know, the families and stuff, and just see them again and see how they're doing. But, so John Hartwig is interned here at the cemetery, in Acton here in Granbury. And, you know, he was a gunnery sergeant when he got out of the Marine Corps. He was medically retired. He was, in 3-5 with me in Fallujah and then, the second deployment. He suffered some injuries. He was hurt. You know, he struggled the same thing and went through those type of situations and was a product of, you know, what we've heard about the VA where you got to the VA and they just gave him pills. They gave him so many pills. You know, I was talking to him. He was in a bad shape. He gained a lot of weight. He joined some biker group that was not the best people to be around. I mean, but he was looking for that tribe. He was looking for a place to belong again, you know, where he felt like he was in a brotherhood. And so, he kept ping-ponging around, and then on these medications, one night lost control of his mental state and took his life. You know? And so I sat and talked with his wife Saturday. I didn't meet her at the funeral. She was busy doing other things, of course. So we sat and talked. We had a good talk. And, you know, so it's 2 years today that John took his life, December 18th.
How is she doing?
She's doing good. You know, he's got two daughters,
right.
John does, and they're just lively as all can be. And it was really neat, and I was sitting there, you know, because the little girls were like, you know, Daddy, talking to him, in the sense of, you know, Daddy, you should see me now. Daddy, I'm getting good grades. Daddy, I'm doing this. And it was really uplifting. It would choke. It killed me inside.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say.
But they were having a conversation with them.
How old are the girls?
One I believe is 6, and the other is like 9.
Oh, fuck.
So they were 4 and 7, I think, when he took his life. But beautiful little girls. One of them looks just like John, and you know, in the face anyway. Because John was 6'4" and about 240 pounds. You don't want. But she's tall. I mean, she's got John's height going for her. And she plays basketball, and they call her, they just throw her the ball. She's so tall. She's just got to keep the ball above her head and then just puts it in the net.
But, Mike, this is, you know, one of the reasons for All Marine Radio, the primary reason and the mission is post-combat-related mental health. So think about John. He's a Marine, 6'4", 220-pound stud. He's got a wife and 2 beautiful daughters, and that guy gets to a point where he's going to take his own life. And that's how bad, you know, and that's how frustrating it is when you hear stories that he went to get help.
Yeah, and they gave him pills. They gave him medication. And what was ironic was a lot of the medications they gave him was the same medications I used to take, the anti-seizure stuff,
right.
You know, and I never had a seizure, but they gave it to you anyway because it calmed you. You know, so it's depression, anti-depression medication, all right. That kind of stuff. And I have to believe that they do some kind of, okay, hey, he's taking these meds, he shouldn't take these. But I mean, really, come on. They were, I mean, that guy had, like I said, I had 12 bottles when I threw it all away. And I was looking through this stuff, and then I started searching on the website. And I'm reading it, and it's like, should not be taken with or in conjunction with, you know, other medications like Ambien, which I was on. So I'm thinking to myself, well, why did they prescribe this to me then? And then I was looking at, they said, you know, over long period uses, causes extensive liver damage. Well, okay. So when my liver goes out and I go to the VA and go, they're going to tell me, oh, it's not service connected. No, it is, because you assholes gave me the medication that made my liver fail to fix something else and didn't give me the fast, real wide, fast, you know, at the end of a commercial when they go, the infomercial goes, and we're not allowed to blah, 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 blah. What was that? Oh, that was the legal thing, you know.
Yeah.
Right
at the end of the commercial.
Yeah. So that was the frustration, and it just made me more mad again. And then, you know, so I'm looking at, but I heard, you know, oh yeah, there's big changes, and there's sweeping changes in the way we take care of our vets and the healthcare. And no, there's not. It's getting a little bit better, probably, yes, but not for the best. I mean, it took, you know, Steve Snell, who got in touch with Bob. To basically Bob to heavy hit for him and to go to bat for him with you know, some big timers up there in D.C. to get him fixed. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this. And what's frustrating to me is the people that I have run into that are benefiting from the VA system. I mean, I'm not going to mention names. And not even mention service, because I don't know if he listens, but part of the armed services, but never deployed to a combat area. Deployed outside the United States, yes. Served honorably in the armed forces, yes. Okay? Yes. But never, ever deployed in a combat situation. Was he, you know, could it happen, something happened to him? Yeah. He probably could have gotten a car accident or a plane crash to and there. Or hit by a car, he was there, but no enemy fire. He wasn't in that situation where he went to a combat zone. Not even like to Kuwait, right? But that was his job, and that was okay. Does get some an elective surgery, meaning that he chooses to have this thing done. Not required. He pays a portion of it. The Navy picks up the other half of it, right?
Right.
That's how the elective surgery things work.
Right.
something happens with it, botches the surgery, and loses kind of, not all of it, but some of it, some, you know, damage and stuff to his arm. But, and then serves honorably 20 years and gets out, gets 100% disability on that one claim. 100%. So I'm struggling. I'm like, how does that work? John didn't get 100%. He was somewhere around 60 or 70%. And he had 35 conditions. 35 combat-related conditions. And he gets 60, 70%. And fights all the way until he takes his life off. Because there's some, if you're not service-connected in areas, you can't get, you have to pay out of your pocket for medical. And that's the problem with it. You know, you get injured in the military, as long as you're serving honorably, it's service-connected. Why is it not service-connected? It's a pre-existing condition. How do you know that? How do you know that? Isn't, well, then, to say that, then every condition that anybody is stricken with any time in their life is preconditioned. You know why, Mac? Because it's what faith already had in line for you. It's what God already had in line for you when you were born. When you're conceived, the day of your death is already known to that man. Everything that's going to happen in your life is known to that man. So everything is preconceived. So why do we even have it? It's ludicrous to me. So that, with the stocking stuffers, and Christmas getting near, I'm going absolutely apeshit crazy, man. And on top of this, tomorrow through Friday, I'm going to be down at Florence, Texas, going through the DPS class on my license to carry instructor's certification.
Oh, that's good.
So DPS, well, yeah, and that is, DPS is basically the state police.
Right.
That's what they call them, the public fire safety. So I'll be out of the pocket. You won't hear from me until after Christmas. So I just kind of make it till tomorrow.
You think you're going to do it? Are you going to enjoy? Will you enjoy the course, or do those courses tend to frustrate you?
Oh yeah, I'll enjoy the course. I know it's going to be kind of basic stuff, but you know what? I can shut my mouth and be the dumbest student in the class.
Oh really?
You know that?
You can do that?
Yeah. And because I like that, I like playing that. Because you know, like I did that at one course with the NRA. You know, stand up, give 5-minute speech of your background and your shooting background and what you've done and stuff like that. So I stand up and I said, "Oh, Mike Musselman, I've shot a gun every once in a while, and I'm here to learn." And I sat back down. And so when it came my turn to do this demonstration for a semi-automatic pistol, and I gave it, they kind of looked at me after the break. The instructor pulled me aside and said, "There's a little bit more to your story. You know more about guns than you led to believe." And I'm like, "Yeah, a little bit." So I told my background, they're like, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, this is part of the class. You know, you got to get an NRA. You have to get an NRA, you know, instructor thing underneath you, even though how goofy it is." So, but I was a good student, you know. I didn't play the, "Oh, please." No. I'm a good student.
Hold on. Here's an email. So is the gunner saying that things like Tic Tacs and toothbrushes aren't good stocking stuffers?
No. Stay away. I learned my lesson. For the kids, yeah. For the spouse or the girlfriend, absolutely not.
So why don't you just stick stocking stuffers? With the spouse,
because she does them for you.
I know, but why don't you?
I forgot stocking stuffers one year. Yeah. I didn't get her anything, and I just put the card in the stocking.
Okay.
And like I said, talking about kicking the dog, man, it was not a good day. And then of course you get the. No, I forgive you. Which it means they don't. Right? They're just telling you that, but that doesn't mean that they do forgive you. It takes a long time. And most times, as we all know, women never forget.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
What has a longer memory than a woman or a elephant?
A woman.
Your wife.
Well, you know what? But I, honestly, I can't remember. Like, there's whole parts of my life that I don't even remember that I'll hear about. And I'm like, well, yeah, sounds like something.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I did, but oh no, trust me, you did it. Like, really?
And you'd be talking to somebody, they'll be just like on the peripheral, and you'll say like, oh yeah, I've never done that. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh yes, you did in 1986 on Thursday, you know, November 12th at 6 p.m. You know, on the street corner of 13th and 4. Yes, you did.
Yeah. You're like, what?
And then tomorrow you'll ask them, hey, where's the grocery list? I don't know. I don't know what I do with it. You never win, dude.
You don't.
You never win.
You don't. And if you as long as you accept that, then everything's good. But see, you're trying to win. You're trying to do good. And that's why I say, I don't think you should get her a stocking stuffer. I think you should just take one of her really nice presents and put it in the stocking. Yeah.
I've tried that too. I have done that. I did that. I got her an iPod. You know, way back when iPods were coming around.
Right.
So I got an iPod because they're small, right?
Right.
In the box.
Right.
I wrapped it and I stuck it in the stocking.
Right. Perfect. Boom.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And yeah, man, she opened that up and it was, this is a gift. This is not a stocking stuffer. Mac, I've not wrapped on, another rule is anything that goes in a stocking has to be wrapped in Christmas paper. Because I'd put just stuff in there, like I said, when I was a kid, you get the candy cane with the M&M's filled in it, you know, that
right.
Plastic tube.
Love that.
And it's sticking out. Yeah, it's sticking out, so you know you got that. All the Hershey's Kisses that have fallen to the bottom.
Right.
You know, the marshmallow peeps and all
when did the stocking stuffer become a significant part of Christmas? Why do you live under that tyranny?
I have no idea. I fell into it. And then I should have stomped it out when I first... We did,
yeah.
But I didn't. I didn't know if it was like tradition in the family, you know? I don't want to break that up.
Yeah, because people have different traditions, right?
Yeah, but see, I gave up my tradition of, we used to open up one present on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we used to do that too.
We can't do that in our household. The wife won't, nope.
Not going there?
Nope. Well, she'll play this game, Mac. You guys can open one up. I'm not going to.
Well, then, but,
yeah. Yeah.
Good thing.
Now, what do you do?
Good thing we're not a family.
Yeah.
Good thing we're not a family, or else that would work.
Yeah.
We are a family, so that doesn't work. So we're all going to get screwed because you're going to take your ball and go home. Because you're going to take your ball and go home.
Yeah. Like the Domino's pizza commercial. What do you want? Pepperoni? Yes. Pepperoni? No. Salad. The pizza downer, you know, and then, kills the pizza night with the salad. Same thing. Oh, yeah, you guys can open a present. I'm not going to because that's not right. Well, I didn't know you wrote the rules for Christmas. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she does sound like she's taking possession of the rules relative to Christmas. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, Christmas is a very stressful. We have people coming over.
Yeah.
So we have king crab legs and all this stuff coming down from Alaska on Friday. Yeah. And then she calls. She's like all day yesterday. So when are you going to pick up the prime rib? Not today. Why not? Because Christmas ain't until a week from then. I'm not going to have a prime rib sitting here, you know, going bad for a week. I'll get it fresh.
All right. Hold on. Let me ask you a more general question. Why does she have to supervise you so closely?
Oh, because she stresses out.
Oh, it's not because you're failure to perform?
That too, but not so much there. But we're not talking about me, Matt.
Well, I'm just saying, is there, in her defense, does she have to, you know, execute the sixth step in troop leading on you constantly because you're always doing something else? Or... are you pretty, like, on point?
Let's just put it this way. I have different priorities in life.
Okay.
Sometimes your priorities are not even on my priority list.
All right, I got it.
So I would say it's a lack of supervision. It's just a lack of my priorities aren't necessarily yours, and yours aren't mine.
All right, so we haven't synced. This thing's not operating in sync.
No, and we should have, like, you know, and I told her one year, I said, every Christmas we're going to have a PowerPoint presentation of duties and tasks, and we're going to teach this out, and we're going to put all these milestones on the calendar.
Hey, I just did that. My son John's flying out with, you know, he and his wife and our grandson Finn are flying out from Quantico. My sister's coming down, or she was supposed to, and then Patrick's leaving to go back to D.C. to be with his girlfriend, right? And so, all right, we got a lot of moving pieces here. Everybody in the room got a dry erase board out, had Colleen, you know, put the days of the week up, right, with numbers so we're not confused. Who's arriving? Who's departing? Are we going to go on a hike? Are we going to go bowling? What are the free things that we can do with a group of people that'll be really fun, you know, and knowing that we have a two-year-old with us. So we, you know, we're brainstorming arrival dates, departure dates, you know, this is kind of white space. This is white space in the training schedule right now. And we're, okay, now everybody take a picture. You got on your cell phone. This is now the reference document for Operation Christmas 17. They're like, Dad, what's an RFI again? Okay, that means we have a question. Okay, so we write RFI colon and then, you know, where do John and Susie want to spend the night? And then when we get that answer, boom, that goes right in there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, that's really smart. Like, there you go. All right. Now, hold all questions to the end. What do you think that got greeted by?
Oh! Yeah.
Oh, we can't talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
No, I actually did that.
That's my life.
See, you need to say hold all questions till the end. Right?
No. See, you know what? Well, because I'm leaving tomorrow. Which, believe me, this week is going to be nice because I'm out of town. I'm going to be like, yes.
All by yourself?
So I'm going to go by Gary's, yeah, Christina's. I'm going to have him order me a prime rib. I'll pick it up on Friday or Saturday morning when I get back in town. You know, and I won't tell her. No, I would have to because it's just about
see?
My yeah.
You know what? You're that guy, aren't you? Because you're doing some of this just to irritate her.
Yeah, or no. Remember, I like, okay, because I was the kind of guy that as it got close to LD,
yeah,
shit still wasn't done. That's when I was brought in. I'm the fixer.
Oh, you're the wolf? You're the wolf?
Yeah, I'm the wolf. I can fix it immediately within 24 hours. Everything gets fixed. And I don't need all that stuff. So I do like planning it out. It's boring. But I like sometimes like the mad rush to get done. That's fun. That's exciting again. I like that self-induced stress a little bit there.
It does give, you know, that sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it too. That's why I used to like going and doing Christmas shopping on, like, the 23rd and 24th. Right? Anybody, if you start in October, come on, anybody can do it.
I love it. Yeah, anybody can Christmas shop 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah,
right?
Come on. That's like...
A real pro shops on Christmas Eve, which I've done before.
Yeah.
Still pulls it out.
And pulls it out. And you're having a cocktail between stores. So it's an awesome time. And the person who gets the last gift, like, whoa, why'd you spend all this money on me? And I was hammered at the time. I was hammered. I probably should have bought it, and it just seemed like a good idea, and I wanted to be done. If you want to know the truth, that's it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here's something to. I pose this question. Okay, now once you don't have little kids in the house anymore,
right?
And Christmas becomes a little bit. Probably, a lot about merchandise.
Not
about a lot about merchandise.
Yeah.
You know,
So, even with kids, it's merchandise. So that, yeah.
Yeah, but when they're little, I mean, you have presents for them, and it's a surprise and all that. When they're older, if you want to waste your money, go surprise people.
Right.
And then you find out that they never took it back, and they just threw it in their closet. It's like, well, look, I could have burned that $50. I could have bought ammunition with it.
Right.
I could have done something good with it. How do you, I mean, so you'll find out exactly what they want and go buy that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The color may change, but it is exactly what they want.
Exactly.
It's so much easier that way.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So why wouldn't you just give them the cash and then get up on the 26 and they can go buy twice?
Mac, we talked about this. I told you. No. I tried it all. I've given them Visa cash cards. Here you go. I priced everything out. Here's the link. Blah, 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 go. And that doesn't work.
I would think that would be the way to go because, look, I could have bought you this on the 23rd, okay, and it would have cost me $80. You can go get this and two other things now for that same $80. No? If it's about if it's about merchandise.
It's about merchandise. It's about that instant gratification. They want to be satisfied now.
Yeah, because it's not about me getting something new and surprising you, blah, blah, blah. It's about you. I don't know. I struggle with that. I got to tell you, I struggle with that.
At what age did the kids stop? Remember when the kids were young enough where you can just get them a box of wrapping paper?
Yeah.
And them just opening it with.
Yeah, that's all that matters. They loved it. Hey, you muted yourself, you dope.
At what age was that? We were six when the kids stopped, you know, when you could just put a rock in a box and they'd be happy about that.
What are you doing?
You remember?
What age was that?
I remember when Megan was real little.
12, 13.
Then, 12,
13.
The excitement.
Yeah, 12, 13, I would say.
Well, no, it's got to be younger than that, because the excitement was just, she wouldn't sleep. And then she was in our bedroom, you know, and we used to play it all out. We'd take I'd get my little hands and make the little paw prints of reindeer, you know, out of charcoal, because they came through the fireplace. And then you'd nibble on the carrot that you'd have to leave for Rudolph, drink the glass of milk, spill a little bit, you know, leave the cookie crumbles there, and then get the Santa feet going back out the door or up the fireplace as well,
right.
You know, and leave the fireplace open, because then she was like, oh my God, because, you know, when Megan was a little, it was, Dad, is the bloom open? Yes, Meg. You know, that was like the checklist, like before bed. Dad, is the bloom open? Yes. Okay. Is the glass open on the fireplace? Yes, sweetheart. Okay. And then she's going through her head, like, do you think we should put more carrots out for the other reindeer? No, sweetie. Just Rudolph. Just Rudolph is the only one that's allowed inside. You know, that was the fun. That was the magic of Christmas.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, hey, listen.
Then, I'm not going to mention it, but it wasn't me that told my daughter there was no Santa.
I told my son, and he argued with me.
Yeah.
He was playing hockey. Listen to this. He's playing hockey when he was nine, he was playing, I think, squirts, and squirts go up to 11. And
yeah.
So the kids who he's playing with.
Hey, this is North Dakota, though.
No, this is California at the time, right before we moved. And the kids are older, and they don't believe in Santa Claus. And so they're in the locker room, and I was an assistant coach, and he's 9 years old, and they're talking about what they want from Santa. And so he's tying his skates, and I'm standing next to the wall and waiting for them, you know, to get ready so we can get on the ice. And he says, I want, and I know he's going to say Santa to bring me. And I said, hey, shut up and do your skates. And he just looked at me. And so I went home that night, and I said, Susan, we have to tell him there's no Santa Claus, or he's going to get run out of town on a rail. That's not going to be good. He's the youngest kid, and they'll annihilate him. So I come home, and none of the other kids are around. Patrick and Catherine are little. And I said, hey, come here, I got to talk to you. And he looks at me like, what's up? Am I in trouble? I said, no. And he said, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And he looks at me. He said, I know that. I said, you do? He said, yeah. His name's Kris Kringle.
You're screwed, dude.
Said,
I would have just walked away from that. I would have said, you know, you're right.
Let him go.
Dude,
and I said,
you're going to shatter him like a brittle piece of glass here in a second.
I said, no, there's no such thing as Kris Kringle. And then he looks at me and he says, St. Nicholas? I said, no. I said, no, man.
All of those people above, yeah.
I said, none of it. And he just looks at me like, what? And I said, have you ever noticed that Santa's writing looks a lot like your mom's? And he just looks at me. I said, in fact, if you go get a chair and you go into that closet and you look on the top shelf, you'll find wrapping paper that looks exactly like Santa's wrapping paper.
And you used to hide that stuff from them when they were kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And he just stares at me. And he goes and gets a chair and he looks. And then he comes back in. And he said, so there is no Santa? I said, no. And it was the funniest, hilarious. Now, Patrick, and so I said, look, you cannot tell Patrick or Catherine, okay? They're little and they believe in Santa Claus. I said, I'm telling you because remember the other day when you were tying your skates and they were talking about what they wanted for Christmas and you got ready to say, I'm going to ask Santa for, and he looked at me and he said, yeah. I said, do you think you want to say that in front of those kids if there's no Santa and they know it? And he looks at me and goes, no, thanks, Dad. I said, no problem, bro. Fast forward, Patrick. Patrick's asking me questions about Santa Claus, right? So he's obviously heard at school, and this might be a couple years later. We're in North Dakota. And so I look at Patrick, and now it's like, okay, the cat's out of the bag with Patrick, so I got to protect Catherine. And so he looks at me, and he makes some comment about, well, Santa's going to bring me. And I looked at him. And I said, you know, or you've already heard there's no such thing as Santa, haven't you? And he looks at me, and he says, no. And then he says, but John believes in Santa. I said, does he? He said, yeah, I asked him. So John's in the other room, and I said, John, is there such thing as Santa Claus? And John says, yep. And I said, and Patrick just looks at me, and he says, see? I said, now tell the truth. Nope. So Patrick looks at me, and Patrick and John are very much different kids, right? So Patrick looks at me, he says, so everybody knows this except little kids? I said, that's right. Stupid little kids. We're fooling every one of those little suckers. He says, so everybody else knows it except me. Like, I didn't know it. I'm like, yeah. I said, you're a little chump. And he was.
Well, he's probably not the last one.
He was pissed. He was. Yeah, he was the last one. He goes, but Catherine doesn't know. I said, no. And if you tell her, I'll smash your head. I won't tell her.
The sad thing is that there isn't one.
That is a sad thing.
It would be a great place if there was such thing. You know, it's not a bad thing to believe in something like that.
Well, no, to have your own little miracles and like and the Easter Bunny.
I mean,
come
so the older you
through,
get. I think the older I get, I still want to believe in it. I want to believe in that Christmas fun, miracle, childhood stuff again. I would have loved to have the fact that no one that Santa would still exist in people's minds today. Because the world would be a worse place. If anything, it'd be just a little bit better than it is currently right now.
All right, let me update his story and then I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm getting hungry. Hurry up.
First of all, update on the train derailment on Seattle. A train derailed going over I-5.
I don't even know about that.
Yeah, in the state of Washington. And there are fatalities with that. There was 78 passengers and 5 crew on the train that derailed this morning as it passed over the top of
Amtrak?
Amtrak, yeah. It was a high-speed train. When you see things like the Atlanta airport going dark and you see things like train derailments, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Nothing.
Okay.
I mean, that's just stuff. I mean, Mac, so what, how many people died?
They don't know yet. Well, and what I'm getting at, what I'm, my point is the loss of innocence.
Yeah, but Mac, what is this statistic in the United States today? You know, air travel is still the most safe travel to do.
Right.
Train travel is probably right up there with air travel.
Right. So probably safer.
Yeah. By the time this your program is over, more people have lost their lives in other ways than they did in that train.
No. Yeah. But here's my point about the loss of innocence. When I saw the thing that happened at the airport in Atlanta yesterday, all of a sudden the Atlanta airport goes dark for 8 hours. I thought somebody did that on purpose. It wasn't an accident.
I thought it was an accident.
No. Because those things are built like we build things, right? If we lose power, there's backup power.
Mac, if anything is ever built by a human, it will fail. Just time.
Well, I know, but we have backup systems. We go to combat, we build it, and then we build the backup. Sometimes the backup fails, but not very often.
Yeah, but did the lights ever go out in, you know, Georgia airport ever like this before? No. It's built by humans. It's going to fail.
Yeah.
No, even our most sophisticated things that we put people in and shoot them in space have failed.
Yeah, but my point is this. I got that. But when I see it now, in terms of the loss of innocence and you longing to believe in Christmas and things like that, my brain skews to that's not an accident. That wasn't an accident.
No, it's preordained. It's already I don't believe it's never an accident either.
What I'm saying is
you're saying it's a terrorist attack?
Kind of terrorist attack that somebody loosened up a railroad tie and a piece of track. That's when I see these things that goes through my head. Did somebody do that?
Because you've been indoctrinated. You're continuing to watch the media, so you're getting resensitized to different issues. So when you see something now, because of what's going on in the world and what you've been, your feedback is always going to be it's going to resort to, oh, this is going to be terrorism, or it's going to be this, or this is going to be that. And there's still cases where it's just chance, man.
Oh no, I understand.
It just happened.
I understand, but I'm just saying that you talk about the loss of innocence, and I'm just saying that in both these circumstances, one of the first things that went through my head is it's not a coincidence.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is not so much the loss of innocence; it's the what will become of this. What good needs to come of this? People get together. People get better. Travel becomes better. You know, don't always dwell on the negative side of loss of life because there's more positives that we had pulling out of this. You know, you can change. Things can change. Things can get better. Maybe more lives in the future will be saved because of something, some new standard, safety standard that was overlooked, you know. but again, it's that whole, this is the part of, you know, that we all signed up to. Well, you didn't really sign up to. You're voluntold. You just came into the world. Hey, live it. Enjoy it. Because you have no control over when it ends. You know? And don't worry about that. Because when it happens, you're not going to know either. It's just going to happen. So, yes, it's tragic. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, it's this. But, you know, we can't. I just don't like it when the news portrays the stuff as, you know, in the way they do all the time.
Yeah, I don't. I understand what you're saying about all that, but my point was that just how my brain works now. When I see those incidents, my brain skews to did somebody do this on? Did somebody do this on purpose? So
yeah, you've been reeducated, remapped.
All right, you need
to reboot you.
Yeah, I wish. All right, man. Look, have a good time at your course. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I'll talk to you too. Well, I'll talk to you between. I'll talk to you personally between now and Christmas. But yeah, you have a good time.
All right, bud. Take care. Thanks. Good luck. Hey, good luck with those stocking stuffers. The King, Elvis Presley.
If you're not here with me, when the blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right.
All right, I want to thank Alex Hollings for coming on today. That's right. Soft rep guy, just had a baby, and you're going to hear him momentarily as the program repeats itself. And then when you do, we essentially talk about three things in the interview, if you're just joining us. One is we talk about the whole issue of transgender. And I, when I asked him to come on and talk about it, I didn't really have any idea what his opinion was on it. But let me tell you, what his opinion is on it is that he doesn't care what, you know, their persuasion is or whatever. Kind of interesting. Pretty similar to me, and I didn't know this, but he said, look, I don't care. Are they qualified? But again, it was news to Alex, like it was news to me and most people, that transgender, the definition covers a lot more than people seeking gender reassignment surgery. So, and then once you digest that, the next piece of it is, whoa, that does complicate the issue for me. So, have a great day. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio. Have a Merry Christmas, and for those of you celebrating something else, happy holidays to you. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out. Jingle bells.